Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
What's going on, Kansas City? Players Only here. Thursday night, 6 to 7 p.m. And Players Only, I am Danon Hughes, the host here, Joe Mays, my partner in crime. Normally he is down at the Leia Center downtown doing his business down there, but we got a guest in the house. Two-time Super Bowl champ. Was All-Pro 1 year. Played in 3 Super Bowls. One of the rare defensive players that I actually like.
Well, well, well.
Former second round pick for the Giants. Now in the house, we got Mark Collins. What's going on, MC?
You know what? That fantastic introduction.
I like Steve Harvey over here.
Kind of, sort of. No, no, you're not. No, 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 you're not. Hey, what's up, brother? It's good to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you being in the house. For everyone out there, first time tuning in, this is Players Only. Each week we're on, just chopping it up. Former players in the studio, no other hosts, just talking about things inside the locker room, on the field, off the field. Everything that involves football, we are here to chat it up about. So we appreciate everybody listening in. And yeah, Mark, it's good to have you, brother.
Well, you know, it's about time you invited me, because I was sitting at home just going, man, why come Danon ain't invite me over to? What's going on? Did I make you mad back when we were teammates? What's going on?
Hey, man, I still got some scars on my arms and my ribs from y'all grabbing me in practice. Cheating defensive backs, you and Darren Anderson and Hasty and Dale Carter. And, man, you know, I wake up with twitches in the middle of the night sometimes because of y'all.
Because we lit y'all up. That's why.
Hey, we're already there. This is the first quarter of the show, and we're already there talking trash about Marty Schottenheimer's practices, one-on-one drills.
Because defense, we got to impose our will on offenses. That's what we do.
But y'all don't have to cheat. I mean, like, there's rules. Like, you can't
Back up. Back then, there wasn't no rules.
There wasn't as many
rules. There are rules now, so we can't do the things that we did back then.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, y'all get arrested for the stuff now if y'all was doing it.
Yeah, that's assault and battery.
Well, I'm glad you're here, man. I mean, this is obviously a great week. Chiefs won. Mm-hmm. Things are positive around town. Things are looking up for this organization. I think it would have changed drastically had we lost another home game. But the Chiefs go out there and get the job done against the Vikings. A lot of people thought the Vikings would kind of rise as the cream of the crop or one of the top three in the NFC.
Yeah.
And we kind of knocked them down a peg. Well, you know, we were all at the game.
Yeah.
You know, you were there with your son. I was there with my wife, and we get to see the game. So every week I like to talk about how we watch the game, you know, because it's different than your general fan. You know, we see the game in a different lens. You know what I mean?
We watch the game from another level.
Yes.
We go internally to watch the
game. And it's not any better. We're not trying to say that we're better than any general fan or, you know, the people that pay a lot of money to go to the stadium. It's just that our eyes gravitate differently in different parts of the game. I'm like, my eyes go right to the wide receivers, go to the defense, trying to see if it's man, zone, what kind of combo coverage, different things like that. While you on the defensive side, I'm sure look at it differently.
Yeah, we watch the game in high definition and 3D to a point because different levels, different perspectives. I tend to watch because our seats are, they're like in the end zone.
Yeah.
So from a defensive back perspective, especially safety, I'm watching formations, lineup, knowing where the weak link is, wondering what a quarterback's going to throw. And more times than not, and my son would tell you this and the people sitting next to me, I'm about 95%
calling the plays. Yeah.
On the plays. But then I go in after the first drive because I think I start pissing people off. Look, man, it's like giving the end of a movie. Stop doing this. I go inside and have a beer. But no, it's good to watch a game like that. But we know the game is.
Yeah.
We know the game. That's what we did for a living.
Do you enjoy it? Like, from that perspective, because I think there's people out there, like, when I first retired, I did not really enjoy the game watching it from the stands. And there was a couple of reasons. One, people recognized me, so the fans would scream at me, Danen, how come they didn't do that? Oh, that guy's
that
wide open. Danen, that's stupid. Blah, blah, blah. So then I would say I had my son, who was like 6 years old with me and so on. So, you know, there's cussing and everything out there. So, okay, well, we can't sit in the stands together like that. But then there was just an aspect of frustration because during those times, that's when we had really good offenses, bad defenses. Then it kind of flipped the script a little bit. And you saw, from our lens, we saw all the weaknesses. We saw all the negatives and never really got a chance as a fan to see the positives. I don't know. I mean, do you watch the game? And is there kind of that juggling in your brain about
that? No, not really. I try to enjoy as much as I can for a good drive or two.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, honestly, you know, the game really doesn't come down to really winning until maybe the last 2 minutes.
That's true.
That's when the chess moves happen. Mm-hmm. You know, stopping a team on fourth down, what kind of play the offense is going to run, that kind of stuff. But that's when the game really happens. But after the first drive, I'm inside, you know, having a few frescas.
Yeah, frescas. That's what it is.
I'm having a few frescas. And, you know, walking around, shaking hands, kissing babies.
As a Chiefs ambassador, I know we got to make our rounds and smile and take pictures and sign autographs and stuff, but it's a different game day experience, basically.
Yeah, it is. But don't forget now, when we were playing, we didn't get a chance to really mingle with the fans. For our job, we want to work. But being outside the game, you know, I was telling friends this a while ago, when I first tailgated at Arrowhead, it was in December.
Oh,
Yeah.
Picked a good time.
Well, it was what it was. And they had a big old tent, covered tent, had those big old BTU
heaters inside.
I said, man, I could do this all day. It was about game time.
Then you stepped outside.
They broke it down. Oof. I said, oh, no, you guys are silly. And I got a total different respect for the fans. I appreciate them all. But, man, that's tough to do.
Well, it was good when you only could show up. You don't have to do the build up. You don't have to do the breakdown. You just show up and go in the tent and eat and drink and then leave and go inside the stadium.
Like with the I'm in entertainment. I'm with the band. So it's a great deal to go mingle with the fans and, you know, go chop it up, have a beer with them, and then go inside and watch a game.
Yeah, it's a great experience. Yeah. The Chiefs do it like no other in regards to involving us former players and the Chiefs ambassadors and mixing and mingling with fans all around the Chiefs experience around Arrowhead. We're going to actually have a little add-on today in our show. We got the phone lines open at 913-576-7610. That's 913-576-7610. Call in. We also got the text line open, the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line, 69306. So we're going to take on some callers. We're going to answer some text messages. We're going to add on a few nuances to the show.
You go way back. You know, when I was doing
radio. We're going to take faxes, facsimiles.
I know I'm old. When I was doing radio in Los Angeles, we had the phone line. See, don't forget, when I was doing this stuff, we didn't have all this internet stuff.
This interweb, Bill Belichick, the interweb.
We had actual phone calls. People would dial in. Now,
No snap are you, face, are you, Insta chat.
Are you doing old school for me, or is this is something just?
I didn't want to say that. You know, oh, I mean, since you brought it up, I knew you played right after the leather helmets, but I ain't, you know, I didn't want to say nothing.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, but you. So I brought up, you know, my experience on the field, and you know, experience on in the stands with my kid. You are in a special situation because you have athletes. Like I have athletes, three daughters that played college sports, a son that played college basketball, and you have sons, one that's playing extremely well at the college level at the same position as you played. The first thing I wanted to talk to you about, you know, in real life stuff is that kind of situation, that kind of perspective, you being a defensive, you told me the story about how you tutored your son, and when the light came on for him, and that's when you kind of really went in to teach him the nuts and bolts of that position. But it's rare that you have a pro athlete, an all-pro, Super Bowl winning player having a son that plays the same exact position, wearing the same number, and all the factors that are involved in that.
Well, the thing I've done with Mark Jr., he's at the University of South Dakota.
Coyote, not Coyote. Coyote.
And Marco, my youngest son at Blue Valley North, they're in the second round of the playoffs. What I did with them is basically don't try to overcoach.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have their own identity. Let them play. And when the minute that Mark Jr. Asked me to help him get to the next level as far as starting in varsity, I did not just take him to the field. I took him to the down in the basement, and we studied film. I taught him how to read receiver splits, recognize formations,
because
that way you'll find out what a team's trying to do to you before it happens. So I took him from the lowest common denominator all the way to the top to learning technique, and he's doing pretty well.
So the essence of that is a great message. Learn the brain stuff before you learn the physical stuff.
You're right, because everybody can, Danny, you know this, anybody can play.
Yeah, everybody can run, everybody can catch,
The mental part that keeps you in the league and for a long period of time.
And that goes back to our points about how we watch the game, because I'm watching for tendencies on the Chiefs against their opponents. If a guy's a quick jammer, if he's a shuffler, if he's tipping, you know, if he's man-to-man coverage versus zone coverage, that's how my wheels, fortunately my brain is still working to the fact that when I watch the game, I feel like every time they break the huddle, I broke the huddle, and I scan the defensive backfield to see, okay, the safeties are at 8 yards.
You're in game
at 10
yards. That's what you do.
Okay, now let me see how, like you say, you're calling plays. I'm thinking about, okay, how would we exploit this, you know, this tendency? Third down and five and less, this team seems to always blitz. So what will we do? So that's all the stuff. So it's like a work day, not just what we're doing with the mixing and mingling, but it's like my brain is tired after the game because of all that stuff and the lens that we watch the game.
And that is what I said earlier, the chess match.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's just one of those things that, you know, that's what we do. We think things through, the processes. We're always a play or two ahead, you know, of the average fan watching the game.
Yep. And so going back to your sons and their elevation in the game of football and like, what have you seen from them? Have you seen something that, like to me, when I watch my son play basketball, I know the work that he put in. And my daughter is playing volleyball. There is a time where I'm watching, and I'm like, ding! I actually see the light come on in their brain. Like, okay, they finally got it. So at different times, but they finally got what I was trying to instill in them.
Well, my boys, both of them and I'm not saying this because they're my boys, but they're good. They're good boys. They're good athletes. But I've always instilled in them to be technically sound.
Yeah.
Be sound. Because great athletes, your athleticism at some point is going to leave you. But your technique will always be there. You can always fall back on your technique when that speed or an injury comes up. It'll get you by. The light's been on with them for a while. And here's the best thing about it. They're still wanting to learn.
Yeah.
We still go.
Still hungry to learn.
Yeah. We watch film and we go on the field and do some stuff. But they're pretty sound. So technique-wise and fundamentals, they're pretty solid.
When we come back, we're going to go to a break, but I want to talk more about just your idea of this Chiefs team, this defense. There's callers out here that are asking about the defense and your breakdown of the defense, and we're definitely going to get that. But there's also the aspect of you being a Super Bowl winning cornerback on great defenses with guys like Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks, and having to possibly face this offense. What would you do against this offense? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Second quarter here, players only. Got Mark Collins in the studio. I am Danon Hughes, former Chief wide receiver. And we're here each week, 6 to 7, just chopping it up as players. On the text line from the 816, I missed you. You and Bink need to have a midday slot. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Midday slot is already taken by some great guys, and I am not interested. Basically interested in that. 913, does Tohia have carbonation in it? It does not. It's a great drink. You can mix it also. I love it personally.
You can mix it with what?
You can mix it with anything. I mean,
no. Hey,
don't put words in my mouth.
I didn't say nothing. I just had your
question. How would you mix it?
It's down my personal business.
You're getting too deep now.
Get back to the show.
I cannot confirm nor deny that it is a great mixer.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Nick, Eric, and James on the line. We'll get to you guys in a second. But, yeah, we were talking about this Chiefs defense, and one thing I want to pick from your brain is, I know when I watch the game, you look at weaknesses, tendencies, things we would do to expose maybe this Chiefs defense. But I'm eager to find out from you, a Super Bowl winning cornerback 2 times, been in the Super Bowl 3 times, what you see in this offense, because I also respect your brain in regards to the game, the mental aspect of the game. We played with guys that were just physically better, physically incredible athletes. But, if you asked them why we did something, it went right over their head. Mm. They just knew how to go and do. But you were more cerebral on the field. So what's your perspective of a defense against this offense, maybe even particularly your Giants' great defenses and Chiefs' great defenses against this team?
Well, of course, you got to throw the rule changes in. Back in the day, and I hate doing this, but rules were different.
You
can jam the receivers. You can hit the quarterback.
You can hold us.
Yeah, well, whatever. Whatever. But things change. To stop an offense like this, it's not impossible. It really isn't. Some teams have done it. So it's not impossible to be done. But it's a tough task, especially you got a quarterback, you got receivers who can make plays all over the place. That's a tough thing to do. But back in the day when you got players or you got a team that doesn't have all the weapons and you can stop one or two guys, you got a good shot. With the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to stop pretty much 3 or 4 guys.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
And it's not one way. It's not like, what you hear on TV and maybe even some people on the radio, they talk about, you got to go man to man.
No.
You got to blitz Patrick Mahomes.
No.
It's not one way. There's no way to beat Tom Brady. We tried it man to man and he tore us up and down the field in the AFC Championship. They try zone, he picks you apart with spots and option routes. You just got to mix things up.
You got to. But once again, if there was a way that we could roll back the hands of time and you could jam receivers.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a bit different deal, but that's not coming back. But it's just tough to stop this team. But it can't be done. It's just tough.
Let's go to the line. And Nick, he's asking about this defense. Let's go to Nick.
Hey, you guys. You guys sort of alluded to it. The offense seems to be sustainable. There's not really one way to stop the offense. But when it comes to the defense, do you guys think what's being seen in the last 3 weeks against 2 good teams and 1 below-average team, that it's sustainable, that it supersedes what we've seen in the games before that, that it's something that can continue through the rest of the year and into the playoffs? Because I think a lot of people are concerned that, hey, we have a great offense, but you give up 54 and 43 and, you lose on the last play because of a defensive breakdown to the Chargers last year. Is this something that's sustainable from what we've seen recent vintage of the Chiefs in the last 3 games?
Great question, Nick.
Well, Nick, thanks for the call. But I tell you what, the defense, I'm still not sold on the defense just yet. And the reason I say this because I don't think the guys are really bought into the whole scheme yet.
Scheme.
Yeah, I mean, there's little hesitation in it. Watching from a defensive back perspective, I see the corner, the safeties are playing a little bit too deep. They're not as aggressive.
Yeah.
That little hesitation cost us some. Frank Clark on an outside technique, when he's touching the ground in that wide nine technique, a wide nine is a nine technique outside the tackle. It's so wide, all he does is rush. When his hands are on the ground and he rushes, tackles push him past the quarterback, and the quarterback step up and run past him, run that way. Or they run the ball where you should have been.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I think they should stand him up in a six technique, stand him up and let him rush like an outside linebacker.
Like DT used to.
Yeah, and okay. Lawrence Taylor, something like that. But overall, can it be fixed? Yeah. Everything can be fixed. And they got to get it done because this is the part of the season where you got to get it done on defense. Your offense, they scored 24 points. You should win.
Yes.
You should win. They scored 27 points. You better win. But the close games, you know, you give up, if it's 27-31, 32, and then you lose, it's not the offense's fault. But I think the defense got it. They got to get dialed in. They got to be precise in their run coverage, run stoppage, and pass coverage.
Yeah, and it's a great point because when you talk about this offense scoring 24 points, right now the defense is giving up 22 points. So they would win those games, which goes to your point. We're playing against the Tennessee Titans team this week that's given up 18 points, almost 19 points a game. So the 24 points on offense, if you go by the stats, which, you know, if you're like me as former players, we really hate stats and sabermetrics and all that other junk, you should win the game. This to me, this defense is getting better. I think it was, I wouldn't say irresponsible, but maybe outside of conventional thinking to think that game one, this Chiefs defense with a new defensive coordinator, a couple of new big-time players added on with no full-speed practices, 9-on-7s, live drills like we used to have, that game one they would be a middle of the road defense that we were begging for.
Yeah, no, but Dana, this is week 9.
That's what I'm saying, but then, we're going back 3 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm like,
so
come
week
on,
6.
Man. Here's my only pet peeve with the defense.
Okay.
Whenever a team start going for it on fourth down consecutive times,
they don't respect you.
They don't respect you. And even when they can kick a field goal, they're going for it.
Now, do you think that is indicative of what they think about the defense?
Yes.
Or do you think that it's about the offense
Full stop. No. It's disrespectful to a defense when a team's going for it. Now, if you go for it on fourth down because you have to, because you're behind, different story.
Now, from an offensive mindset, I understand that, and I do agree with it. But I also think that if we had a middle-of-the-road 15th to 18th rank offense, those decisions may not be the same.
Okay, I'm giving you a point. Last week, the Minnesota Vikings had the ball, I think, on a 12-yard line of fourth and one or two.
Mm-hmm.
They could have kicked a field goal. They went for it. Got the first down. Didn't get the touchdown, got the first down.
Yeah.
That's disrespectful.
I would take that as a defensive play, yeah.
The Houston, Texas did that a week before, 2 weeks before.
So you're saying they see a tendency, they see a weakness, a chink in the armor.
We could kick the field goal, we could go for the fourth down, and you can't do nothing about it. And they got it.
And if you are a part of this defense, you're taking that personal.
Yes, you have to.
And that should resonate amongst the team.
Absolutely. That's how it works. I mean, we get paid to stop people.
Yeah.
And when somebody goes for it on fourth down, you stop a team on fourth down, that's like a turnover.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I said it last week. I said, defense, you guys like to play football, but you'd rather not be out there for 12-play drives.
Oh, no.
Maybe. While the offense, we'd love to be.
That's our job.
We appreciate it.
That's our job.
That's what. Hey, back in the 90s, we really appreciated when y'all got it done. We got the text line. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose text line, 69306. We also got the call on line, 913-576-7610. From the text line, 816, guys, as former players, what do you think about the Antonio Brown saga. We could have a whole show, a 4-hour
we don't have time
to talk about Antonio Brown. Personally, in a nutshell, I think there's something wrong upstairs. I think there's something that he has some issues mentally that force him to, I don't want to say it's bipolar or whatever, but I just see it's, you know, dark and light, and there's a switch every single day where he's so high and so low, and it's unfortunate because he's a great talent.
Oh, he is, but you know what? He had these same issues in college.
Yeah.
And teams knew that. And one thing I always say, and I stand by it, money doesn't change people. It exposes who you really are.
Yep, that's right.
He's always been that way. So this should be no surprise to the people who drafted him and who signed him and then re-signed him. He is who he is. Now, it's unfortunate that this man and said that he wouldn't play in the NFL, but yet I read today, Dana, that he wants to talk to the NFL to try to get back in. The sad part about that is the money this man lost.
21 guaranteed.
And you know, shoot, man. That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I will say this. To my knowledge, there's not one player in any sport that did not live to regret some of the decisions they made that cost them money.
Off the field.
Some of the decisions they made off the field or maybe thinking that they were bigger than the game, bigger than the team, that 10 years down the road, 20 years afterwards, they did not live to regret. It's part of the growing process. It's part of the maturation process. Everybody goes through it, whether you're working for Cerner or Sprint or you're working for in the NFL or professional athletics.
Yeah, well, you know, I think he's going to be – he's trying to get back into the league. I know he is, so I wish him well. I really do.
All right, we got one more text. Guy from the 785, if the defense continues to trend in this direction, what's the one thing this town could improve upon the most? This town. Ooh. I don't know. I don't know about the town. The town is great.
Yeah, town's fine.
The fans are great.
Is the defense got to worry about it?
Defense has got to shake it up.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit. We'll be fine.
All right. We still got a couple of guys on the line. Hold tight. When we come back from halftime, we're going to talk about shutdown corners. The phenomenon around the NFL and around this team, we actually gave one away in Marcus Peters. I want to hear what Mark has to say about shutdown corners and defensive guys that can be that kind of impact players for a team. Halftime's over. We're back. Players only. Mark Collins, two-time Super Bowl champ. First team All-Pro in 1989. Played with four different teams. Outstanding career, and I am Danon Hughes. He was used to abuse me in practice. That's my claim to fame. Thanks a lot.
I was just doing my job.
I'm scarred for life.
Just doing my job.
Let's go to the phones. We got Eric. He wants to talk about the run game. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Thank you
so much for doing this show. Honestly, you guys need to open up like a 24-hour hotline. Any questions? Or have you ever tried to get information off the internet about contracts and franchise tags and stuff? It is a runaround.
Yes.
So you guys need to get some kind of information out to people for that. I want to really talk about the offensive line, and I'm really proud that Andy Reid finally tones it down a little bit for Matt Moore, and it shows us, I think, the path for the rest of the year. Because I've always believed that if offensive linemen get to get out in the beginning, run the ball, determine where they want to go, you know, of course, defensive, you guys are going to do what you do, but the offensive guys have to determine their strength and summons up the power to push them men back and not be pushed back. And running the ball, I feel like, is just so important to the mental stability of the line. Is there any truth to that?
Great call. Great question. Thanks, Eric. I will say this. Normally speaking, and for years, probably decades, offensive linemen, they come to the stadium hungry, salivating at the run-blocking opportunity to move bodies, push people away, impose their will, and wanting to establish that up front. But here's my concern. in this day and age, with this generation of athletes coming from the run, not the run and shoot, but
RPO.
The RPOs in college, the spread offenses, I wonder, and I'm not an authority on it, but I wonder if the same hunger is there to move people at will, or if they have been so programmed to protect the quarterback, passing game is the optimum part of the game now, and my run, my pass sets and my, you know, slides and all of that stuff is now at the forefront of their brain versus the run, attack, push, knockdown, pancake, blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's a great point, but I would think, and from a defensive perspective, going from a corner, playing man, then zone, you got to do both.
True.
Offensive linemen should have the same mentality. The easiest thing on defensive playing for a corner is zone.
Yeah.
Right?
You get to watch everything. Sit back, yeah.
The easiest thing for offensive linemen to do is the run block.
That's what I'm saying. That's true.
But maybe they've been conditioned not to do that, and I get it, but they still got to do both. You got it, because as a defensive player, one of the most demoralizing things that happens to a defense.
Yes, I know where you're going.
It's when they just run the ball down your throat.
Yep.
And that clock keeps running, and there ain't squat you can do about it. And then the offensive lineman, they get up, start flexing their muscles, and go back to the huddle, and the same thing. You go, dang.
That's the great part of the game. I know a lot of fans probably don't like the 4 minute part of the game.
It's ugly.
But I love it.
Yeah, well, it's ugly.
Yeah.
It's not pretty. It's not sexy.
But you know we're going to run.
You know, you got to stop it.
And you can't stop it. In 4 minutes, we're up by 4 points. We need to hold on to the ball. We need to move the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the stadium knows we're going to run, and the defense can't stop it.
Yep.
To me, that's probably the more fun part of the game than any other part.
And it was a great call. I mean, he made a point. I mean, I like that Andy is trying to establish the run a little bit more, take some time off the clock, give the defense a little rest, and then just let the offensive lineman do the simplest thing that they could do. Is run block. Get your guy. It's mano y mano. Move the pile and keep it going.
All right. We got James on the phones. James, he wants to say something specifically to you. There's something I can't speak to in going from transitioning from a corner to a safety. Go ahead, James.
How you guys doing? I'm really thankful to have an opportunity to ask Mark about this. Mark, if I remember correctly, you know, your time before Kansas City was pretty much all at corner, and then was your first year at safety when you joined KC, or maybe it was a little before. But here's my thing. We don't see that happening nearly as much anymore. We've seen a lot of great players do it. You're a two-time Super Bowl champ and All-Pro at corner, and then you finished at free, at free safety. Ronnie Lott was corner to safety, although I think he did it much earlier in his career.
Yeah.
Rod Woodson was corner to safety. He did it much later in his career and extended, you know, his time. But we don't see that happen so much. To give a recent name, there was a guy I really thought when the Andy Reid era started, Brandon Flowers. I really would have loved to see Brandon Flowers go from corner to safety. Instead, you know, the Chiefs went a different direction. He moved on, et cetera. But is it just because it's become such a speedy position in today's offense that doesn't happen so much? I think we're getting great safety play right now with, you know, the Honey Badger and then the rookie, who we don't see him a lot. And that's because he's doing a great job out there.
That's a good thing.
I'm curious about why we don't see that transition nearly as often as we did before.
Well, you know, that's a great question. This is something I spoke on before. I think there's only 5 or 6 guys who's ever made that transition from corner to safety. If you think about this, and I'm not trying to be braggadocious, not a lot of guys can do it. For the simple reason, being a corner, left or right corner, you're so used to that sideline as your friend.
Yeah, true.
When you go to the middle of the field, some of the guys feel exposed. I mean, Deion Sanders couldn't do it. Darryl Green couldn't do it. Aeneas Williams couldn't do it. These are Hall
That's
of Famers.
Great point, yeah.
Can't do it. Guys, I did it. Everson Walls did it. Rod Woodson did it. Charles Wilson did it. So
Ronnie Lott, yep.
Not very many people could do it, but it's a mindset. It's where, and those guys, I mentioned earlier, fantastic players, no doubt about it. But sometimes once you get used to that sideline being there, you move inside, you get lost.
Yeah.
And it takes
too much space.
Yeah, they just can't do it.
And I will also say that you also have to be willing to hit.
You better know how to tackle.
That was an attribute for you. You were a physical corner, So the transition was a little bit easier. Not easy, but it was a little bit easier because you were willing to stick your head in
yeah,
the mix.
I'll stick my face in the fan. But moving the safety strong or free, especially the free safety, you better know what the hell you're doing back there. You better be smart because you got to know where the lineup, where the mismatches are, reading formations, putting people in the right coverages.
Yeah, because you're the quarterback back there. Yeah. One more call. We got Ryan and OP. He wants to talk about just Jones's comments on filling the stadium. Earlier this week, I guess it was a comment from Chris Jones that he saw too much purple out there.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up, man?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, first off, I wanted to ask, I guess, two parts. One, your thoughts on Sharkhandrick Ward and how he's playing this year. And then, Chris Jones made a comment about he doesn't want the Chiefs Kingdom to sell their tickets any longer and make a full presence out there as opposed to seeing, you know, half a sea of purple or something out there.
Well, I think Ward is doing pretty well. He's doing all right. He's okay. I'm not going to bag on him. He's doing the best he can, and he's having a decent year so far. I like him. He'll only get better.
Yeah.
You go ahead, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, Charvarius Ward, to me, the biggest issue that I had with him last year and some of this year is that he very rarely looked back at the ball.
Well, because he's still in panic mode at times.
Yeah, a little bit panic.
He hasn't really bought into the position. I would love to work with him.
Yeah.
Because I'll teach him. After a certain amount of yards.
Because a lot of time, and to your point.
He's there.
Yeah, he's in good position. Yeah. He just doesn't, like you said, the confidence to to recognize that I am in as good a position as I could possibly be. Let me turn my head around just a little bit. Most of those pass interferences last year by our corners, most of them, they weren't in bad position. No. They weren't beat.
They panicked.
They just panicked.
I know. I saw it all the time. But
which we love as wide receivers.
I bet you do.
But I want to go to a point in regards to shutdown corners. We're talking about Charvarius Ward. He's not a shutdown corner, but there are a couple in the league. Patrick Peterson, you can go through the list and see guys, not necessarily to the extent of what we used to know as shutdown corners back in the day. But we had one where I thought, he was a handful. Yeah, it was a coin toss and good plays versus bad plays, but very rarely did people test his side of the field in Marcus Peters, and we gave him away. Is it necessary for a good defense to have a shutdown guy?
Well, I think you should have some quality defensive backs, especially at the corner position. A shutdown guy, honestly, you won't see that anymore.
Because of the rules?
No, the rules. It's just different. It's just totally different. Marcus Peters was a great corner, don't get me wrong, but as I tell my sons and anybody who's willing to listen to me, whenever your off-the-field antics
supersede
your on-field potential, the business decision will be made.
Yeah, it's a business when it's all said and done.
It is. This is what it is. And that's what happened. So, can he play? Yeah. You know, did he go to the Rams and get exposed? Yeah, he got exposed to the Rams. Is he with the Rams now? No.
So it's all part of the package, right?
So, you know, the foresight was there to the Chiefs. But back to the question about Jones said about the fans.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I've never seen so much purple in my life, except when I saw so much green and gold the week before.
That was
pretty humiliating. I was like, what's going on here?
But obviously now with you go online and buy tickets from other people, the weather's getting a little chilly, and you have two teams that would only come here possibly once every four years.
Well, I get that, Dana. Well, I'm just saying, man, hey, we got fans here who dying to go to a game. Buy the damn tickets.
Yeah.
I mean, just because Patrick Mahomes isn't playing,
That's
what it was.
Yeah. If Patrick Mahomes is still playing, if you got Patrick Mahomes going against Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes going against Kirk Cousins, there's more red in the stands than green or purple.
Yeah, I get it. I was a little perturbed after my second fresca.
It's a fresca. Hey, when we come back, we're going to go into the fourth quarter. We're going to talk about this team. Is it a Super Bowl team? If not, why? If it is, how? And also get a Chiefs-Titans preview. Fourth quarter, four fingers in the air. We got Mark Collins in studio. I am Danan Hughes, players only, each week on Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. We got the phone lines, text line, the Protein House, Eat With A Purpose text line, 69306. We got 913 from the 913. No more jamming at the line like before. One from the 913. It's true. Way too much purple. It was disappointing. So people in line with your mindset. Yeah, well, it's a little disappointing.
It was. It felt like a Viking home game.
Ooh.
It did. It really did. It did.
It did?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, so before we went to break, we were talking about a Super Bowl. Obviously, to me, this team, because of where they went last year, because you have the reigning MVP, it's Super Bowl or bust. There's no position that I believe that fans in Kansas City will be okay with.
You're twisting my arm. Stop
but
it.
You've been on two Super Bowls. You've been on three Super Bowl teams, won two Super Bowls. Can this team get there? And if so, how? If not, why?
I you know what? I got to think about this. Well, not really. Here's my mindset. When on the teams that I was on, we just try to focus on winning the division. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Win your division first, then go for the conference. After that, if the Super Bowl is there. So many times people put the pressure. They think, oh, this is a Super Bowl team. What does a Super Bowl team look like?
True.
I mean, think about it. You don't know.
I don't know.
You can start and look at the Patriots. They went, 16-0 or 15-1 and lost to the Giants, who were 9-7 that year.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. If the team gels well, get healthy, and get a good run and got momentum to the playoffs, then you start thinking, they got a shot, at least a shot. But I just try to push back on people who are talking about Super Bowl or bust. Now, don't forget, this is the first time in Kansas City history they drafted a quarterback that they can really say, hey, you know what? We got a shot at the end.
That's true.
That's never happened before. So I would just enjoy the ride. Hopefully this young man stays healthy for the next 10, 15 years.
But it's easier said than done to enjoy the ride because you know what they're capable of. You know where they've been. Now, if people were talking about Super Bowl bust last year before the season, then I would say, just enjoy the ride. We got a new quarterback. Who knows how it's going to unfold? But you get to basically like Andy Reid, Clark Hunt, Brett Veach has said, and I quote, we were 4 inches away from a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Basically referencing Dee Ford being offsides.
Well,
That's the long-lasting taste that's in
I got it. Mind. And I bet you the Miami Dolphins said the same thing with Dan Marino was in the Super Bowl his first
true.
Year.
Yeah.
Oh, next year. It never happens. Enjoy the ride while you got it. I would say this. Even last year to next 4 or 5 years, Kansas City has a tremendous window of opportunity to go to multiple championship games.
Yep.
If the health is still there.
If everything falls
online. Oh, yeah, the nucleus is there. They're perfect.
So Chiefs got the Titans this weekend.
Yeah.
I think it's obviously a winnable game, but the Titans are no pushover.
No,
in that NFC South, you can knock it all you want, but we lost to two teams from the NFC South already. And the Titans.
The blueprint is already set.
Yeah. So they're going to follow suit.
Yeah.
And the Titans' defense is probably better than at least two of them. Specifically, and you know, Mike Vrabel, he's got that team playing well with a backup quarterback. They're playing winnable football. So for the mindset of that this is a game that we can breeze through because of how we played these last couple of weeks, to me is foreign. This is gonna be a tough game. This to me, whether Patrick Mahomes plays or Matt Moore plays, it's gonna be a tough game.
Well, if the Chiefs could get up fast on them, 14 points fast. It's a different deal because now you're going to force Tannehill to do something he's not used to doing.
Yeah. Because right now they're 26th in the NFL in yards per game. They're pretty much at the bottom in most of the offensive categories. So you're right. If you can get ahead of them by 14 points quick.
You got a good shot to kind of blow them out. But if it's close, you know, I know Mike Vrabel very well. He's going to play the game smartly.
Yeah,
he's going to take the air out of the ball and just going to try to milk it all the way down and, you know, make it the team with the ball last wins.
And let's face it, Tennessee has had our number. The last three times we played them, they've beaten us.
And, so confidence is on their side.
And two of those three have been here. Actually, all three of them have been here in Kansas City. So we're going down there. Hopefully we can flip the script, but it's not going to be any kind of pushover. I think this is a game where – They know the recipe to win.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a few games I've referenced with the Ravens earlier, even Jacksonville, early in the season where the opponents got away from their game plan and allowed the Chiefs to win. Not that we weren't better than them, but you had Lamar Jackson throw 52 times when they could have run the ball just like the Colts did, just like the Texans did, just like the Lions did, even though we beat the Lions. So there's a recipe out there that teams are going to employ against this Chiefs team. We just have to step up to the challenge. I like the uptick that our defense is headed. There's still a ways to go.
Got to maintain it, though, Danny.
But they got to maintain it.
Yes. You got to do it because this is the time of year where defense has got to rise up to the occasion to stop people.
Yeah, and they got a big running back. So Derrick Henry's there.
Yeah.
And you know, like I do, and you've been a part of it. You have a big running back. They like running in the first and second quarter, but they love running in the fourth quarter because they're banking on the fact that you guys are tired of hitting them at 230, 240 pounds.
This is true.
Yes, so that's it. We got players only. Thanks a lot for all the calls, all the texts. We did not get to all the texts, but I appreciate you, Mark, coming in.
Anytime,
it's good to have. This is not very rarely said on this show. It is good to have a defensive player in studio. But I appreciate you, brother, and we'll be back next week, players only, next Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. We're on 610 Sports. Joe will be back in the house, and we'll have another guest indeed. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Players Only.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.